Tuesday. Said I woke up to the summer, shining through. Calling all my friends, asking what's the move. Feeling a little different, I'm on something new.
Today,
I ain't gonna let no clouds get in my way. The only road I'm walking is the one I pick. Catch me sitting in the sun, no time for shade.
Today,
ooh, this is the day that the Lord has made.
Ooh,
and I ain't gonna let it slip away. I'm gonna be joyful. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I'm gonna be I got the feeling that you get when you get new kicks. Bell ringing on the last day of singing, yeah. High fiving everybody, but we out of here.
Today.
So fast, life comes and goes. Make it last, best slow your roll. They don't take it as a choice, but you gotta know that today's the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. And I ain't gonna let it slip away, nah. I'm gonna be joyful. I got the joy, joy down in my heart, down in my heart, down in my heart. I got the J-O-Y down in my heart, down in my heart, down in my heart. I got the joy, joy down in my heart, today, today.
Amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Welcome to another exciting training day. This is a day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Hallelujah. Because I know some people right now wish they had this day. Amen. I'd rather be, amen, before the presence of God than in the best hospital in the world. Amen. Hallelujah. Giving honor to Christ who is the head of my life. Amen. Pastor Gerald Overall, Running for Christ Ministry, and his lovely wife Sheila. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And all the saints and friends, I say welcome and praise the Lord. I say praise the Lord, and you say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. I just thank God for another opportunity. You know, it's sad that, between now and the last broadcast, three of my coworkers have passed, former coworkers passed away. One was my age. The other was younger. And you know, the deep part about it is I just heard, amen, a prophetic word from a young prophetess growing. And I know it wasn't easy because she admitted she had to repent for not saying it. It's not easy to tell people bad news. It's easy to say good news, but it's not easy to tell folks. And her prophetic word, when she was backed up by the word, it's about a lot of people going to be leaving here. You know, the deep part about this, several months ago, I heard Pastor O say a lot of folks going to get raptured before the rapture. The key is be ready. Analyze your life. You know you. You know you. I don't know you. I'm not God. God knows you. I don't know you. You know, amen, match your life to the word of God. That's what you test about. That's what I do. I keep a check. I know you can go any kind of way. It doesn't matter. Doing the right thing does not guarantee you won't leave here early. You know, it just like that, you know. Matter of fact, it said that in Timothy. You know what I mean? Really. But the point is, leaving here right with God. Don't guess about it. Go before God and ask him. He says, show me my iniquity. Open it up. God, I have to warn you. God won't bite his tongue because that's what he wants. That's what he wants. Amen. Let's go before the gracious throne of God. Hallelujah. Blessed Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the opportunity and the privilege to come before you, and as you sit on your throne in your mightiness and your goodness and your graciousness. We just thank you for this opportunity that you paid for with such a great price, with the sacrifice of your first son, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus, for being obedient unto the cross, amen, to redeem us from sin. We thank you for sending back the Holy Spirit, which has the mind of Christ, hallelujah, to teach us your way. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being our comfort and our guide and our teacher. And we ask you right now that you bless us with the intelligence of your wisdom in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. We ask that you bless the eyes of our understanding to be more enlightened, that we would be more, that we would better know what is the hope of your calling, the riches of your glory, the inheritance you have in the saints, the great and exceeding power you've made available to them that submit and obey you. Bless us with the knowledge of your will and give us the strength and the courage to carry it out in each and every situation. Bless us to grow in you. Hallelujah. Right now, Father, I ask that you bless my tongue to be that of a ready writer. We want it to be all of you and none of me. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, we're still, I guess, maybe, possibly be on the final of being led in the Spirit or learning to walk in love consistently. That is what life is about. All the way through the Bible, you see that. Men that did what God say do, how he say do, when he say do it, and men and women that didn't. You know, and you see that that's common. You know, I can't forget that this, I had this conversation with this young atheist lady, and you know, and I was telling her how God had delivered me from drug addiction and a bunch of other crazy stuff I was doing as a young man. And her response was, how does it feel to have given up my will? My response to that was, great, because I'm not headed to hell. You know, she thinks she's in charge of her life. People think that until they start running out of breath. I've been with people when they have died. I tell you, they all that bravado, it goes right out the window. And all of a sudden, they start begging God, talk all that stuff. But when it comes down to it, and you know you're going to die, somebody told me, see, I know the saints see their angel. Okay, then, you know, now I remember one particular individual and how they was barely could move, but they was pointing, and then people was looking for that, but he was pointing toward his angel. Versus the other people who see the death angel, that guy with the hood and the sickle or whatever he looked like, you know, and they know they ain't going to heaven. You know, I've seen a movie once. They got sometimes they get it right. But listen, my whole point, my aspect of life and ministry has been to help you focus on doing just that, align your life with the Spirit of God. Because at the end of the day, that's all that matters. Because, you know, again, you know, my foundation scripture is found in 1 John 3:2. You know, I mean, it says, the key part is, it says, although beloved believe, matter of fact, let's just read it. Hallelujah. I'm not going to misquote it, because I just met a young man that just, he told me he had grown up, you know, in religion. And it never taught it. Just now, he has received the revelation. See, and that's the thing. I can only give you information. God, however, gives you revelation. And until God gives it to you, see, because you know, humans, I know right now, there are people that all the time they're looking at. I see that when I hear somebody say things like, "Only God can judge me." Well, see, you already know they're in sin. They're convicting themselves. What the difference does it matter? I have a responsibility to pray for you no matter what the state of your life is, good or bad. I have, but I'm supposed to be singular-minded in serving God to rescue you, not judge you. We already know God can't judge you. Now, if you're talking to somebody that's judgmental, then you should automatically pray for them. Because you know they got a mental issue, because in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus took that right away. Why? Because we are to learn. This is what it is. What would the Spirit do? What does the Word? The Spirit and the Word are never disassociated. They never. They don't never. There's no compromise there. Jesus said, I only say what my Father say. The Holy Ghost only say. We're going to get to that. Only say what I say. This is what this life is about. And it's critical in these days and times. Because that's all God. God ain't going to. He's not going to ask me about anybody else. I'm going to answer for just only for what I do. Only for what I do. But here in 1 John 3:2, it said, dear friends, now, not later, when we die, you'd be surprised how many people teach things like that, that we are the children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he, Jesus, appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now, you got to understand, this is for my new people. And I meet people a lot. I make it a point to get out and meet people. That's why I'm telling you. That's why I do Uber, but that's why God want me to do Uber. Listen, this is what it's going to be. Knowing what Jesus is, he came from heaven. We got a song. He came from heaven to earth to show us the way. He didn't start out here. He started out in heaven, came down, spent 9 months in Mary's womb, came out, grew up as a young man through puberty and all of that, never got out of line with God ever. Never, even as a child. You know how big that is? Shoot, by the time, I don't know when I was preschool, and I got my butt whooped for jumping up and down on the bed like it was a trampoline. You know, it took me a minute to realize I was being traumatized. I was having myself a bouncing good time, and all of a sudden, this don't feel good. And my mother whooped me, broke my sister Cheryl for time. Amen. So Cheryl, if you want to know what happened to your baton, that's what happened to it. But anyway, hallelujah. But we're talking something so stupendous. This is what people don't get. We see it, but we don't see it. And you don't get the revelation unless you start spending time with God. Because this is what people look at. They always looking at people, and they don't even see them. They think they do. They're busy matching themselves. I guess I'm running across people. They start looking. See, this is how they got off on this scripture. But now we are the children of God. Because they know in their spirit that that's supposed to be a person of supreme intelligence. If you're the child of God, and the Bible is clear about that. God also knows we don't know how to behave with that level of power. That's evident by what's going on in the world today. You got one man blowing up another country. He claims he's a Christian, and he don't mind killing other Christians because of some thought that he had in his mind that they used to own that country. Well, you know, he's ignoring the fact that every person that's gotten buried didn't take not one thing with them, including that dirt body that they have. So, see, God is showing us that we can't, that through the things that we do on earth, reveal what we really believe. And he is looking at how is this person going to act at the third level, third gen man, when he have the fullness of the youth of his mind. Now, how do I know that we have the fullness of the youth of the mind? That is, if you look at Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 32, you have a situation where there are two rich men dead. And matter of fact, the one of the rich men is named Abraham. And I just ran across reading another historical book. The first name of Dives was, I guess, Ninu, N-I-N-U-E. But it don't matter. The fact of the matter, he's in hell, Abraham's in heaven. So a rich person can't go. But when you read the commentary, and I read another commentary, a historical commentary, that further enlarges on the fact that Abraham did have that type of character where he did not underpay his people. The man had his own army. That's very rich, you know. I mean, you see rich people with what we call an entourage, okay? I mean, some of them had like their own secret service. Anyway, all right. So they illustrate like now we have more billionaires than ever and more homeless than ever. I would be scared to face God like that. If it's yours, you'll be given the stewardship over it. And how do you explain to the God that provided all that you needed to let people starve just so you could make sure you kept some billions, not millions, billions. I tell you, boy, that ain't good. But, oh, we're talking about the fullness of your mind. All right, there's a conversation between two men. There's a 500-year gap. Thank you, Holy Ghost. 500-year gap between Abraham and Diabetes. And yet they're having a conversation. Diabetes looked over on the other side and saw him. Now, you can believe that's fiction. Trust me. One thing that ain't fiction, there's an asteroid headed to Earth called Apophis. It's really starting to worry, folks, because it's getting closer about a second. Okay, and they know that thing's serious. Okay, and I mean, and Putin, where he's sitting at right now, he staged for World War III. He's been negotiating with Turkey, which is what the scenario in Ezekiel 38 is saying. We already had a satellite TV system. More and more, you're seeing this cashless system being in operation. That's in Revelation chapter 13. Now you got AI, which. You know, it's amazing. Back in the 70s and the early 80s, they were talking about artificial intelligence because they knew that the image of the beast wasn't going to be human. They knew it was going to be a robot or something of that nature, and now we're seeing the manifestation of it. I mean, the Bible, they didn't have all this. They didn't have this vernacular and technology, so they couldn't really express it the way that we do. But that's what we're seeing it now. And you can, the people deny it, and it's amazing. You know, people want to, I run into people that they don't want to discuss the issue. I'm like, hey, I don't force the issue. I'm there in case you do. One person wanted to hear, we had almost an hour-long conversation. The rest of them didn't want to hear, but guess what? That's how things are going to be the day of the rapture. And that's another mystery. See, we don't know when that's going to happen because God's in charge of that aspect. He, the only one, knows. We know we in the season. There's so many things that are lined up. So you really just want to be in tune with God. We're in tune. I'm making some changes. I'm contemplating some major changes right now. You know, and because right now, what's important? The things that I want to accomplish or the things that God won't accomplish? That's what it is. And right now, nothing is interfering with that. Call to go somewhere, I'm available. See, that's all that's important. When God sent me out in an assignment, see, I'm going to tell you, I've been doing more Uber than I usually do. Really, longer hours. But it puts me in contact with people because, I mean, I'm amazed when I find African Americans that have no faith, that's unusual. My generation, that we didn't even understand what we understood now, but being faithless just wasn't one of them. We just knew something about God. We believed, and as a result, we have received. But it's incredible. I mean, I'm talking about educated, uneducated, to the degree that I've even used the word barbarians. Man, it's something. It is incredible. They're just totally void of God. If you're not void of God, you need to be praising God because I'm telling you, there are people out there that have no clue. Good thing about it, and this is something that Peter said, be prepared to give every man an answer of the hope that lies in you. Why do you feel so safe and secure? People know World War III is a possibility. They try to dodge the reality, and I remind them, it's going to happen. It ain't no if. God already told God, it ain't the will of God. See, you need to be able to tell them to a degree. The fact that that is not the will of God, it's the will of man, okay, and money is behind it. You know, that's always the case. But the reason, and I'm going to tell you the reason it's going to happen, this is the most prayerless generation on the planet. That's it. I know it don't see, people, when they hear prayer, pray about it, they only think about our Father who art in heaven. No, you got to talk. You got to command and give authority and decree and declare. I had a sister. I've heard declare and decree, and I never really looked into that. I never knew I was doing it anyway, but I do. But see, this is the point. God, let us have power to that level so that we can see that we have power at that level. You know, people think I'm talking crazy about the weather, but I'm serious about it because it ain't being normal. Well, at least it is in my neighborhood. I have some folk I thank God for them. And I really think Michigan, and particularly the Detroit area, have more praying. When I talk about praying saints, I'm talking about saints that can pray. Not just words coming out of their mouth, but when God hears their voice, he listens. That's different. Because listen, if your life when nobody is watching look like you belong to the devil, God don't hear your prayer. You can fool everybody but him. God is omniscient. He is omniscient. Now, I guess we can read our opening scripture. It says in Romans chapter 8, verse 14, it says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." Sadly, thank y'all. I pray for the president because he is the president. I don't care. I'm party neutral. I am party neutral. I'm of the God party, the Jesus party. I ain't got anything to do with Republicans and Democrats because I think all of them should be vanquished. But the fact of the matter is their problems are their godless. But the problem isn't just them, okay? You got to understand the mechanism here. Paul said, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. That's in 2 Corinthians 10:4. But mighty through God to what? To pulling down the strongholds. If they're not carnal, then they're spiritual. See, people think spiritual. They have I've talked to people that have this weird understanding of spiritual, like it's a concept that man came up with. It is not. If the reality is there is God, there's Jesus, there's the Holy Spirit, there are angels, and there are us. Remember, you are a spirit. Inside of a body, you have a mind, will, and emotion. That comprises your soul. That's the part that God's going to deal with. You know the people leave here, they leave that body. I don't judge no bodies. You judge how you function when you're in that body. All right. Then he said in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, he said, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and spiritual wickedness in high places." All right. So then he told Timothy, he said, pray for those in authority that you can lead a peaceful life, because if you let the devil have his way, they're going to take your peace. Look at now people are worried about the dollar collapsing and the government defaulting on this debt and all that. All that is, I know it's enough saints praying now. You see, pressure makes saints pray. They know it is real. So I'm not worried about that. Okay, I'm not even concerned. We're going to get to June 1st, and they're going to get a deal. And even if they don't, you know, China ain't going to run right up in here and act like they're going to repo the United States because we owe them $4 trillion. See, all of that came about from a lack of prayer, believe it or not. Not only the people in Washington not praying, man, they do some crazy stuff. Man, I've seen some super crazy stuff. But anyway. God is looking at no one else but his people called by his name. See, matter of fact, let's read that. That's in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, 14. Like I said, I have to be mindful of the new people because they don't know all this. Like I said, I had a long conversation with a brilliant young man, and I thank God that, amen, the complexion of my skin meant nothing. He just said, "I appreciate you taking the time," because he's trying to understand this life. I mean, he now has, thank God, this is what your prayer does, Saint. See, we think sometimes that nothing is happening, but it is. So the prayers is what brought that young man to the light. Prayers, listen, this is how this thing went down. Let me show you how God is. When I go to the airport, all right, it has the numbers in. When you pull in, your cars assign the numbers. So, like, when I got there, I think it was, like, 80 cars, right, which means I was number 79 because there was one car behind me, right? Now, so when I see that, I already am prepared to just park and turn on YouTube and watch the messages till I get a ping, right? I didn't even get sit still right before I get a ping. And I'm like, wow. And I'm like, wow, okay. So I took it, right? And like I say, it was, I got these signs in my car on the back of each headrest. And they said the return of Christ is in three parts. Part one is the rapture. Part two is the tribulation period. And part three is the physical, visible return of Jesus Christ with the scriptures coordinated with that. That's the kind of a conversation starter, you know, for the folks that claim that I usually drop on them, like, you know about the second coming of Christ? And, you know, they don't want to hear that. And I told them, who can't stop me from talking? I won't push the issue. I just want you to know something magnificent about to happen. All right. Now, what I've been talking about is prayer. Now, and nobody can tell me that they're not being led of the Spirit to not pray. that's something you really want to be critical about, and that you want to know all aspects of prayer. You need to see God on that. You want all the arsenal available to you right now. You want everything. Trust me, because the closer we get to the end, the more challenging it could get. And listen, challenging don't always come in the way that people think. You know, I'm telling you, it ain't shooting, bleeding. Anyway, this is 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and amen and verse 14, a well-known scripture. It says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now, even though that's a well-documented scripture, well-memorized scripture, actually that doesn't apply totally to New Era, New Testament Christian. You really don't. Let me tell you why. Let me see. He said he'll hear from heaven. You have the Holy Spirit in you. You know, he hears. That's why you can whisper your prayer and he knows, because he can, not only can he read your mind, the reason, this for the new people, the reason prayer has to be verbal, doesn't have to be loud, but it has to be verbal, is because Satan still has charge of the earth. He's in 2 Corinthians 4:4. He's the God of this era. So he sees in the spirit realm, okay? And I got some teaching on that aspect on my website and on YouTube. He sees, so when he sees angels coming, he has to be notified. Because if you're not in the body of Christ, then you don't have a covenant with God. He has charge over you. Therefore, he can command them to stop. People, these are things that people don't understand about this. This is why you need to be at a church where they teach the Bible, and you need to drag yourself. You need to drag yourself. I know everybody can't get to Bible class and Sunday school, but you need to listen to the recordings if they're recorded, and don't miss them. Trust me, because that's when pastors get into details like this. Okay, usually Sunday is more of an exhortation and encouragement, but Bible class is where he get into details and even answer questions that's been mailed in. My pastor, every time he's in town, which is when he's in town, if he can, if his schedule allow, he stays after service and people line up and they ask him, even though all the ministers are required to stay there too. But they're there to answer questions, because they remember what it was like when we was coming through and had all these questions and nobody to give you an answer, and we were supposed to be getting answers. That's what their job is. Amen. He paid them for that too, but amen. And that's why I don't mind giving. It's an investment. I don't mind giving. I've only had maybe one or two questions, but still, that I like seeing other people get blessed. And that makes a difference. That makes a difference, because this is, when you come to Christ, that's a major cultural change, and you see that throughout the Bible. when people come to God. It's a major cultural change. So, and the whole thing is what? We're going to go to, okay, we got that. Oh, the other aspect, it says my people, you know that. That part definitely is in play in the New Testament. Will humble themselves and pray. Seeking the God's face, okay, is really knowing his word. You're going to run across, you probably have, all these different aspects and beliefs. For instance, let's just generalize the rapture. There are three versions people teach on the rapture. There's the rapture before World War III, before the tribulation, a rapture in the middle of the tribulation. That's talking about the body, the entire body of Christ. Now there's a discussion that there will be saints raptured in the middle of the tribulation. I'm not going through that. That's a risky time. That's a risky. Look at what's going on now. They sell, well, I live, they sell a lot of dope. Dope, let me tell you, I mean, dope changes everything when it gets in your system. It changes how your mind functions. It reduces your moral stand. Believe me, it's just like alcohol, but it has more of an impact because it doesn't have the negative impact that alcohol has. So people consume more of it. Some of them, I never thought I'd see the day when people overdose on marijuana, but now they got this new chemical brand. And then there are people that, this is the strangest one of all, the post-millennial rapture, where we get raptured as Christ coming down. That's like bouncing. It's called the bounce. It's just bounce up and bounce back down. He's coming down to rule the earth. His first act, listen, you don't want to be against Christ. It's his first act. Everybody that didn't get killed during the tribulation that's against him going to get wiped out right then. You know, I was watching War of the Worlds, the one with Tom Cruise, and when the aliens started attacking, they started zapping folks. That's what Jesus, if you've seen that movie, that's what Jesus' first act going to be. He's just going to zap. They're going to just, boom, get zapped out of their body. I know people don't want to tell that hard part about Jesus. I'll be telling folks, a loving God would do that? Yes. Yes. Where do you think the Grand Canyon came from? God got a point. We 2,000 years of putting up with us? Please. I'm surprised he ain't did nothing. I am surprised at the lack of things that are happening. I really am. I expect more earthquakes than what we did, more floods. Italy, pray for the saints in Italy. I believe that last time I was telling you it was under 10 feet of water. It didn't dry it up, muddy it up. But anyway, pray for them that they'll know how to pray properly, know how to address God properly. That's what they need is a revelation of how to address God properly. All right, so one of the main things that you need to do to get to that place where you can follow the Spirit of God, I'm assuming you have already received Christ, because if you haven't, we're going to give you a chance at the end of this broadcast. Where are we going? Oh, we doing? We just, yeah, praise God. You know, it's amazing. I always think I don't have enough material for a broadcast. And I have an abundance. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Paul, reading out the New King James Version, it says, I beseech you. I mean, listen, that's like somebody grabbing you by your face and turning your head towards you and say, look, you need to really listen to this. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Okay? Now, bottom line is you got to have your mind changed. Got to get your mind right, boss. But anyway, this is the point. You're coming from one culture of your own, your family culture, your personal culture, or whatever culture you developed over the lifetime of how you think things should be to doing things God's way. Now, listen, that isn't a control issue. The devil try to play it for many, and you giving up control of your life. Truth of the matter is, you know, what you going to do? What you going to do? You going to do it his way? You going to do it God's way or not? God, listen, God understands the power that he's given us. Okay, you look at any agency that gives people power and authority, law enforcement, CIA, FBI, local police. Listen, they don't just give them a gun and a badge and say, go out there and do it as you please. No, in this country, and we have the United States Constitution, and then in the state of Michigan, we have the Michigan Constitution. Then when you're in the city, you have city ordinance. You have a multitude. Then you have civil rights law. All of that comes into play when you have authority. And in our case, all that had come up in one place called the Bible. So if I don't know God's opinion over there, and what's acceptable to man may not be acceptable to God. Case in point, the abortion issue. God says it starts in his heart. Life starts in his heart when he made man. Jeremiah 1:5, he said, before you entered your mother's womb, I knew you. So people can do. Satan is after. They can't see Satan attacking the kingdom of God. Whereas what would the kingdom of God be if there were no people? Then be back to the angels, and that's it. That ain't what God wants. We are God-class beings. Small G, always a small G. The big G only applies to big G. All right? So, but that's the issue. And seeing God, there's a lot of aspects. People try to live in this world without God. I realize there are many challenging situations, such as women getting sexually abused by their husband and other men and all that, particularly in other cultures. And that, a lot of that has happened over here because they brought the culture here, and then they find out they don't have the right to do that here in this culture. That's why a lot of people want to come to America. There's a lot of freedom. But the freedom in America was purchased by the blood of Jesus. America, what it is right now, is held together by the few percentage of saints that are praying. And when they're taken out of the earth, the Bible then got another whole story for it. I'm telling you. Because it says that's what he's talking about in Thessalonians, until he who will let is taken out of the way. He's talking about the Holy Spirit, and where the Holy Spirit go, I'm going. It's going to be crazy. And he's trying right now. If you're paying attention, you're seeing elements of that now. You know, all my life I've been dealing with, since I got out, going out of the front yard, dealing with the homosexuals, okay? I'm known. Okay, my older brother was kind of out there in the mix, and, you know, they were around him. But you know what, I can never remember a violent homosexual unless you attack them. But they generally, we used to use a term called sissy. And that was to address any man that acted like he didn't have no guts, okay? He was weak, you know, girlish-like. We called them sissies, all right? They were not known to be violent people. But lately, see, that thing has come out. The Tennessee killing, that was a transgender. That's unnatural. That shows you the impact, but that is the result. Now, look at this. This was a former alleged Christian, transgender, attacking a Christian school. That's demonic. School got attacked because they stuck in religious mode. I hate to tell it like that, but that's the reality of it. Okay? We have the greater power. But if you go every day, this is what I'm talking about. You go every day without praying, you go every day without commanding angels, then you're going to suffer the consequences. And this is why, you know, when I listened to that young prophetess minister about all the early arrivals, I'm seeing that. That's, again, that's people not in touch with God. You know, I've had a few incidents recently. I've learned that when I'm doing Uber, I have to don't just do it. I have to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Listen, you might be on your way to Kroger, all right? And then, you know, something inside you don't feel right. See, for y'all folks that just only want to pray in English, I appreciate you. I love you. We need you. We need you. But let me tell you something. When you pray in the Holy Spirit, it increases your awareness spiritually. And it makes you even more sensitive because you want to pray out. It allows the Holy Spirit knows exactly what's going on. You know, one of the problems I was having is, like, you know, I would get to a situation and that seemed like at the last second he would say something. The problem was I wasn't delaying long enough to allow that transmission to come up in there. See, that's a submission factor. That's another aspect to learn. See, it would be something if all those details was in the Bible. This is something you need to understand about the Bible, too. See, when they were writing it, they were getting it. They weren't giving the time to analyze and experiment and try it out and ask God questions. They just, as the Holy Spirit gave it to them, they wrote it down. Matter of fact, just for the benefit of the new people, let's go to verse 16, I believe. We'll see when we get there for sure, because it's one thing. And that's a powerful chapter. You need to read that chapter anyway. All right. Now, it covers a bunch of issues. Paul, this is Paul talking to one of the early pastors, young pastors of the church, Bishop Butler. No, I'm just kidding. Timothy. And, man, that's another whole story. But it says, but you must continue, in verse 14, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, that's a key phrase, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. This is in and of itself, and I think we're going to lay right in there. Listen, the Bible, you know, in the book I have, The Millennial Guide to Christianity Without Religion, and the reason for the without religion is because man created some religions. You won't find them in the Bible. It's a lot of stuff man made up, a lot of things man try to restrain and restrict. Always consult God. Always. You have that right. That's that righteousness is right standing with God, which means you have access to God and his promises and his power. Man, it depends on your maturity level, how much of that the revelation knowledge he will make sure you get. How to use that power will depends on how mature and serious you take this. Because you'll find there are different levels. People think that people that's always in the Bible, always going to church, is some type of religious nut. That's how the devil tell them it don't take all that. Yes, it take more than that. It take more than it does to get a PhD. I'm telling you, this is endless. You're talking about utilizing unlimited power. He's at below kindergarten level, preschool level when it comes to the things of God. With all that we know, we are below. Listen, if you can't walk on water, you don't know nothing. I'm telling you. If you can't, look, in Acts chapter 1, verse 9, Jesus floated on up in heaven. If you can't command the atmosphere at that level, you don't know nothing. Look at what we're doing with rockets, and look at how much science is applied to make a rocket fly. And he's just floating on up, you know. If you can't teleport like Philip did in Acts 8:39, you don't know nothing. Nothing that you can make things. But listen, that also tell God, how God's going to make the decision on whether or not to let you get to that level. See, he didn't want us to be focused on that because look at what people do with power. They would have been exalting themselves. There's a book out called God's Generals. Every minister should read it. Every saint should read it. That and Fox Book of Martyrs. They're inexpensive books. You need to read them because God's Generals show you what happened with people when God revealed power, do great miracle, mighty works through them, and how many of them their heads swell up. I would be afraid. That amazed me that people have such egos like that. I'd be trying to make sure. God, like I said, God has been, I think, maybe for other people, maybe three miracles in my 46 years, and I made sure they know it was him. Because I remember this one incident, remember this guy, I didn't even know, I knew he was in a bad auto accident. And it's amazing how God even got me into the room with him. And I didn't have to pray a long, loud prayer in the name of Jesus, calling down the powers of heaven. And I just laid in there, Father God, in the name of Jesus, we ask your blessing and healing upon it. But at that moment, man, I felt something draw to me to the point that I almost fainted. That was a new experience to me. And then I understood what Jesus said when I felt virtue. And about 8 weeks later, when he was able to, he was very happy. I would put it like that. I didn't know. But that was God showing. I'm telling you, God would do things through you to show you that you were wielding tremendous power. I mean, I've yet to get an answer on the 1,000-year stuff, but now Perry Stone has written a book about that period of time. I'm anxious to read it because it just came out, you know. Because, listen, Saints, that dude, we go, why would God have a 1,000-year reign on this planet? Now, mind you, we're going to be at full spiritual status. Full spiritual status. You'll be able to eat not get fat. I'm going to really love that. Won't be none of this food around like it is now. I'm seeing more and more revelations about this food that it ain't no good. Even the grapes, the seedless grapes. God made grapes. Spit the seeds out. I know how to spit seeds out if I want to. I don't really want to. Okay? But we'll be able to enjoy life. And then there ain't no telling the quality of cooks. I never had food cooked by angels. But my wife's clothes, but, you know. But, listen, this is about preparing us for the kingdom in the fullness of power. There's different people. You're not going to find agreement. Listen, if there was an agreement, all the churches should be labeled Christian Church of God, period. That's it. They should all be named the same thing. But, you know, I've seen a different name. If I was a pastor, that's what it would be called, Christian Church of God. And then people say, are you a member of the Church of God? I'm like, and they're talking about the denomination. You know, like, really? Really? Yeah. You know? It's just amazing. But that ends, okay, and that's the other thing. Are you at the right church? Listen. The church is, if I go where God wants me to be, once you know who you are and that you have the Holy Spirit, you can say, if your goal is to serve God, the size doesn't matter. What matters is doing what God say, being where he say be. You know, I know where I'd be if I had my choice, but I don't have my choice. And I understand why I am where I am because, you know, I can be something that church folk don't like. I can be mean. I can be like one of them, run them ushers that grab you by your collar and take you out to church. I'm the next level up. Anyway, but I'm there for a reason. I'm there because I went around with God on that issue. Believe me, I was dumb enough to argue with God. I don't know. When I think back on them moments, I really understand the word mercy. It's got something to do with how God responds to idiots. You know. But, all right, so where we at now? My point is I want to get, particularly the new people, you want to develop the sensitivity, this being sensitive to the Holy Spirit. That's something you have to practice and use it. You can use it for minor things, going to the mall. And you see how crazy malls can get down. You want to know if you're feeling. Now, understand he's in the center of your being in the area. You right below it, they call it a gut feeling, and it's not feeling at peace. Okay? Colossians 3:15, let the peace of God dwell. So if it's not dwelling there, then you need to take note of that. You really need to take note of that. You need to look around and back away because I'm telling you, it's critical. There's people, that, like I said, that died on September 11th and probably didn't feel like that something told them not to go. How many times, listen, something, AIs or something, but ain't no AIs telling people not to go down this street. I've had situations where I'm coming home from work, and he's telling me to take this long route, right? So I take the long route, And guess what? Some guy had threw what they call road tax over the freeway, and there's like 40 cars that got flat tires. I could have just said, I don't make no sense for me to take the long way. I mean, I'm just going home, you know. But I would have got caught up in that, too. A lot of, I'm telling you, a lot of, you know, when I listened to that young lady again today talking about premature deaths, that's going to happen because people are not listening to God. That's how that happens. I mean, it could be, God to know, he knows your health situation. He might, God might say, just like now, my older brother, he and I were together, and he was just chomping down some bananas, and I can't eat bananas. My body, for some whatever reason, builds potassium. If I eat a banana, I get a headache, okay? So he knows those little intricate things that we tend to ignore. Oh, man, that could create, I know a person that ate some food, and it gave him some serious physical problem. You want to be in tune because Satan hates you. And if he know you have an allergy that he can use to kill you, don't think he won't try. That dude's psychotic. If you forget he exists, he won't forget he exists, and he won't forget his agenda, and neither will his army. I'm telling you. We are here. They exist so that we'll learn to develop our spirit, okay? This God want us, he want us to make decisions on our own. He's not going to make them for us. He will show us, lead us, guide us, okay, by his word. And a lot of times we know, I think people instinctively know, if I go by the word of God, it's not going to be easy. I'm going to have to wait longer. It's going to be harder. But I'm going to tell you, it's going to be better for you. You know, and it comes at challenging times. It really do. It do. All right? Now, and I want you in these last few seconds talk about Amos 8:11. I hate to end on a kind of a negative note, but I just want you to know something here that you need to be a mind of. Amos 8:11. So you don't want to, the one thing you don't want to do, and this, you find this throughout the Bible, because I heard yet another warning for the President of the United States, you know, and the person that gave it. I remember in June 2015 when they warned the country, they were allowed to speak before Congress, and come 2020, we got hit with COVID. And see, people think it's, you know, people think Ecclesiastes 8:11 was one of those scriptures that the Holy Spirit made sure I remember. It says, because sentence against an evil deed is not speedily executed, therefore the hearts of the Son of Man continue. So you don't think because God hasn't hit you with lightning that you write, okay? Now, God, he makes allowance for error, but when you practice something and you think that it's right because you've been getting away, it's just a matter of time, just like now. It's been a matter of time for 2,000 years. People think that I've even had people talking about God absent. He ain't absent to me. We talk every day. Every day. He ain't absent to me. See, they think he absent. They want God to be a genie. All right. But anyway, it says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord God, that I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread, nor thirst for water, but the hearing of the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea and from the north to the east, and they shall run to and fro seeking the word of the Lord, but shall not find it. And I'm going to stop right at that point, okay? See, if you keep, think about it. I mean, you can tell somebody, all right, that's, keep it up. You know, like I know when I was growing up, my old man, he said something. You didn't want him to say it a second time. Because, you know, judgment was coming. Okay? And that's where we are. And God has, in Jeremiah 29:11, another well-known scripture. Matter of fact, we're going to get that in right quick. Like I said, I don't want folks to have my opinion. I want them to have God's opinion. And, You want to, and this is the, that's a better ending too. See, he says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Okay? He said, and then, now I will read 12 too, and then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. See, God, that's God's intention. That's God's intention. But you get to make decisions. You make the decision on whether or not what's going to be. See, I know a lot of times we didn't get to pick our families. We didn't get to pick a lot of things. I didn't get to pick. You know, if I had to do over again, I'd pick me. I mean, my hair might be a little different. I'd be looking like some of my Eastern Indian brothers, I think. I don't know what it's like to have that kind of hair. But everything else about me, I'd keep. Because I'm telling you, I like when my boldness and willingness to do some things, even if I'm wrong. I'm like, I even got encouraged by God once about I was upset by missing it, you know, trying to do something and didn't get it right. And he said, but you tried, you know, you tried. And you got sense enough to recognize you didn't get it right. And then you ask for help. See, I'm going to tell you something, Saints. You ask God for help when you get it wrong, I'm going to tell you, he'll hug you. He'll hug you. And you know when you're being hugged by God, you can feel it. You can feel it, I tell you. It's something. Because he knows then that you understand, even though he's God, he loves you, as it says in 1 Corinthians 13:4-8, you know. And he knows that y'all can get along because he knows you can be shaped and molded in his mindset. And that's what he wants because, I'm really trying to get more information on now. I'm hoping Perry Stone has more information on this thing because I want to know what more details about life during that 1,000 years. And I believe it's time for us to know that, you know, and I thank God, you know, praise God for that. Amen. But anyway, so this may be the first time you ever heard a message like this, and you may not have made the decision. You've been on the borderline. Let me tell you something. As I spoke earlier, Satan is the god of this world. And by him being the god of this world, if you have not accepted Christ, you are in his dominion. So there are certain things that cannot happen. Simply, it was set up that way. It wasn't intended to be that way, but it went that way. Excuse me. It went that way. Okay? It is that way. You have to accept that. Now, listen, you don't have to fully understand this to begin this, but you got to step out on faith, and you by this little prayer that we're about to say then gives God the legal opportunity to minister to you. So then when I say something or any man or woman of God say something, you can go to God about it and nobody can block it. See, versus now. The demons could block an angel with a message, but he can't do that now. We're in a whole different era. You need to know. There's a lot of things you need to know. Amen. Hallelujah. That's why I wrote the book. But just say this prayer. So, Lord God in heaven, I believe that Jesus is your son. I believe you sent him to redeem us. I believe that happened because we are all born in sin. And I acknowledge that I was born in sin. And I ask forgiveness for my sin. And I ask you, Lord Jesus, to come into my heart and to save me now. And I say with my mouth, and I believe in my heart, that I am saved. I am born again. Hallelujah. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. And if you return into God, just simply say this, Lord God, I thank you. I was distracted by the enemy. But I'm returning to you, and I ask forgiveness based on 1 John 1:9. And I believe, amen, you said if I confess my sin, you are faithful and just to forgive me and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And I thank you for it right now in Jesus' name. Amen. So that's that on that issue. But, again, work on that. Work with God on that. Talk with God because I might not be able to get it to you the way you need it brought to you, but I'm confident that the Holy Spirit can. And know this, prayer is God trusting you with his power. Prayer works by faith, faith works by love, and God is love. Shalom. Amen.
just a game.